Hi, I'm Anne Strangechamps. When I walked into my local coffee shop the other day, a guy on the other side of the room stood up and smiled and waved at me. And so I smiled and waved back. And then I realized he wasn't even looking at me. He was waving at the woman behind me. Awkward. This kind of thing happens to me all the time. Probably to you, too. I think a stranger asked me a question, and I'm partway through the answer when I realize she was talking on the phone. I pass someone on the street, and just as our eyes meet, I trip over my own feet. This kind of stuff can make you want to crawl into a hole. Instead, today, on To the Best of Our Knowledge, we're going to share the shame. Let's talk about awkwardness. Beginning with the most awkward, embarrassing time of all, the teenage years.
Hello, Leslie. How is your day today? Mine's quite well, I must admit. I do hope that yours is a good one, because what you are about to read may or may not add an extra color to the rainbow at day's end.
A couple of years ago, Dave Nadelberg was rummaging through his parents' attic when he discovered this, an old letter that he wrote as a teenager, a letter to a girl he had a crush on, a girl who probably didn't even know his name.
The older we all get, and the more the time that we include into history passes on, it has seemingly become harder and harder to get to know one another. So to keep up with the difficulties of modern times, I have devised four ways of introducing myself in the best possible manner.
So this is painfully awkward, right? And the letter goes on and on. I mean, if I had written it, I would burn it before I let anyone see it. But not Dave. He began reading this letter out loud to coworkers, roommates, anyone who would listen, and finally, on stage, to a theater full of complete strangers.
Look, I hope you will consider this letter. I promise you that you won't be disappointed. Besides, how many times in your life do you think someone will give you something like this? I hope for you the answer is many. But until then, all I ask of you is to just try me and see if you like me.
Teenage Dave did not get the girl. But today, his mortified stage show has become a storytelling movement. He brings together people from all walks of life who come up on stage and they share and celebrate the most awkward, embarrassing stories from their teenage years. The show is in nearly 20 cities now. It's also spawned a movie, a TV series, and a hugely popular podcast. So let's go back to that first night when he first stepped on stage with that letter.
The first time we got on stage to do a reading, it was actually on Melrose Avenue in Los Angeles, and it was so weird. I didn't know, is this going to be funny past 3 minutes? And, like, you know, the audience just loved it, and literally at the end they were like, well, when's the next one? And I was like, I don't know. I just did this for a lark because I was having a crappy time and I wanted to do something that just brought some joy and fun into my life and into other people's lives. And so little did I know.
So as you said, by now, you know, this single performance led to a hugely popular live storytelling series. You've got stage shows in at least 20 different cities. There's a TV show, a movie, a podcast. Why do you think this concept has caught on so?
I think audiences, in particular in this era, are increasingly hungry for something that feels authentic, feels real. And I think the appetite for that is because maybe we as audience members find that nourishing, find that entertaining and engaging, but we don't get enough of that in our lives.
Well, Diary, I was sitting on the bus today at school. I literally have no idea why, but I guess I just started thinking about how I wanted to kiss someone. So I made a mouth with my hand and started practicing. It was only a second, but Jeremy stuck his head over the bus seat and started screaming, "This girl is making out with her hand." I just kept yelling that it wasn't true. It was too late, though.
So when I was 16, I had a huge crush on a boy, and I would never, ever have dreamed of telling him, but I did keep a diary and confessed in probably mortifying detail and probably terrible purple prose just how I felt. And then my younger sister found it, and recited portions of it out loud to our parents, which I still think of as one of the most mortifying experiences. So I think standing on stage and reading my old diary out loud today would be 10 times worse than that. Why would anybody want to do that?
I think hearing the laughter is very supportive. And I think you wind up feeling like that kid is acknowledged, that that voice was heard. Like when we get emails from teenagers, that's exactly why they're writing. That's a lot of what they kind of wind up talking to us about is how it makes them feel not so alone.
Well, I was thinking about that. I was thinking, I guess if the story you're going to share is something deeply embarrassing, kind of mortifying, humiliating in some way, sharing it with a room full of strangers is a way of pulling its teeth in a way. You know, if you can share this story of this humiliating thing that happened to you with a room full of strangers, then truly this story, this experience has no power over you anymore. So is that part of it?
That's exactly right. It's very much this burial of your awkward teenage self, you know, and not even sort of a sad one. It's just sort of like it's a way to put something, a relationship that you don't even realize that you still wrestle with. It's a way to put some of that relationship to rest.
I was in love in eighth grade with this girl named Sarah O'Donnell, and she hit puberty early, and she was like that girl. And I was a very shy kid, but I longed for her. Our eighth grade trip, we went to Washington, D.C., and the last night of the trip, we were on this dinner cruise, and she grabbed my hand, and we went up, and I didn't say no. We went right up to the top of the boat, and she took my head like it was a little grapefruit, and she just stuck her tongue way down my throat. It was too much, too fast, and I pulled back, and projectile vomited all over her.
The thing is, when you have one of these experiences, especially as a teenager, you know, of humiliation or shame or awkwardness, you almost always feel like you're the only one on the planet ever to do anything so embarrassing. You know, it's like you've just stepped into your own personal private zone of deep uncoolness while everybody else is out there behaving normally. But it sounds like one of the messages and one of the maybe the reasons people love your shows so much is it turns out that everybody can relate.
Yeah, that's, I hope that's true. I know that anytime I'm laughing and mortified, and anytime the audience is laughing and mortified, it's not because they say in their brain, oh, I had this verbatim experience too. It's that there's some underlying kernel of humanity that they connect with. And so that we wind up, I think, relating to stories, even if they're from a total different time, place, or culture.
It does sort of seem, though, that mortified taps into something specific about our current cultural moment. It's almost as if it's now cool to be awkward. I mean, you have young people calling out awkward situations. There are TV shows and movies that just revel in, you know, cringeworthy moments. There's a website that showcases awkward family photographs. And what is it about awkwardness that we like so much?
I think it's just this sense of honesty. I think it goes back to that hunger that is in culture.
I'm trying to think about how it is we all recognize each other. Because honestly, we're talking and I'm guessing that both of us spent a fair portion of our high school teenage years feeling like outcasts or pariahs in some way or another. And I always feel like I kind of recognize that in other people. Most of the people I wind up being friends with have had that experience at some point or another. But it's curious to me, I'm not quite sure how we recognize that in each other.
You mean like gaydar, but for dorks or?
Yes. Former dorks, please. yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird. Like, I've always been a very social animal. Like, I've always had friends. But I did experience, you know, a pretty heavy, like, I've dealt with depression most of my adult life. And that began in high school. And I remember there were, you know, times of a fairly intense loneliness. And for me, I do think part of the desire for mortified comes a little bit from that time, because I know the thing that has always gotten me out of bad, sad moments in life has been community, has been feeling the love of togetherness, of camaraderie.
Do you think there are people who never feel awkward?
Yes. They're just people I don't want to know. You know what I mean? I want someone to... I like people who are insecure. I don't want their lives to be run by insecurity. I want people to be weird and neurotic. And I also want them to believe in themselves and be confident. But if somebody was just void of any of that embarrassment or humiliated about themselves, I have met those people and I think they're robots. And I don't want to, they don't contribute to my life. I don't think I learn from them. I guess I'm mean. Now I feel like a jerk.
That's Dave Nadelberg. He's the founder of The Mortified Stage Show and Podcast.